Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. This is a radio show that continues to rewrite the history of radio, the radio program that is a knife, a dagger, directly into the heart of traditional talk radio, a radio program that indeed disembowels traditional talk radio, guts it, and leaves it hanging by its feet, in much the same way Hannibal left. Oh, you want me to keep moving? I'm sorry. So anyway, $114,000 has been raised for my friend's place. Give us a call, help the kids, get a CD, or just donate some money. The number is 877-616-7445. Be sure to visit josephwolf.com to visit one of our less fortunate fans. Poor Joe's got some problems these days, but I'm sure he'll be pulling out of it, and we'll have him in to see the show just as soon as he does. josephwolf.com. Now, Troy Aikman, who some of you may know the name, Troy Aikman, quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, has been waived by the Dallas Cowboys. That means he's been released by the football team. When you say, well, if football players get waived all the time, ball players get kicked off of teams all the time. This is kind of significant. Troy Aikman was the quarterback of a three-time Super Bowl winning team. He was, could have been, perhaps every bit as great as the, all the greats, whether it be a Joe Montana, Johnny Unitas. Aikman was up there. And his release by the Dallas Cowboys is a significant moment in the history of pro football. He suffered 10 concussions over the period of 12 seasons, and this is probably more than anything else the reason why the Cowboys have released him. They probably don't want to be responsible for any serious impact on his health that continued playing for their team would have. Concussions are serious, and certainly a ball player can't risk his health. But the Cowboys are a special team. Austin Amarca joins us from an organization. We've talked to these guys before. They're up in Lancaster called Don't Mess With Texas. You guys are sort of expatriate Texans, right, Austin?
We are never expatriates, Phil. The way we see it, we consider ourselves always to be Texans. But some of us have moved here to the desert regions of Southern California. I'm in the cabinet business. I do interior remodeling for homes and businesses. Some of our membership are doctors. Some of them are lawyers. But we're always at heart Texans.
What about this release of Troy Aikman by the Dallas Cowboys?
You know, it's hard, I think, Phil, for the average person to understand the love that we Texans have for football. And it's probably harder still for the average person to understand just how significant the Dallas Cowboys are to all of us. Troy Aikman, I think, was a jewel almost in the crown atop the head of pro football that was the Dallas Cowboys. Three Super Bowl titles, six divisional titles. I can't even count all the Pro Bowls. I can't count all the All-Pro nominations. You have to understand, Phil,
well, those are all things that happened while Troy was quarterback?
Yeah, they won three Super Bowls.
How many Super Bowls the Cowboys won entirely?
The Dallas Cowboys have won five Super Bowls. They are tied only with the San Francisco 49ers for the number of Super Bowls. They won in the 70s against the Miami Dolphins and the Denver Broncos when the great Tom Landry was their coach, and they won three more under the tutelage of Jimmy Johnson.
But okay, so they've won five Super Bowls, three with Troy Aikman at the helm.
Three Super Bowls. You need to understand, Phil, the Dallas Cowboys are the single greatest football team in the history of the game. Let me give you the laundry list. Let me give you the roll call of greatness of the Dallas Cowboys. Bob Lilly, Randy White, Roger Staubach, Calvin Hill, Tony Dorsett, Drew Pearson. The list is endless. And five Super Bowl victories, tied only with the San Francisco 49ers. And
so you're a football fan, you're a Cowboy fan.
Let me just make this point. I honestly believe that the people of San Francisco, while I'm sure they love and support their football team, they don't realize how important those five victories are. In Dallas, we know, because we, as Texans, we are football fans first, Dallas Cowboy fans second, and Troy Aikman, Troy Aikman fans third, but we will always know that our team can bounce back.
All right, let's get to the question at hand, and congratulations for your great team. I mean, I'm...
What's your favorite team?
You know, when the Rams left L.A., I lost my favorite team. I don't really have one.
Well, there's a team that got its ass kicked a few times by the Cowboys.
Yeah, I know, man. I was there for a few of them, although... I was at a playoff game back in 1985 when Eric Dickerson ran all over the Dallas Cowboys for a 240 yards.
Well, that was a bad year, but overall, the Dallas Cowboys cannot be stopped. And as Dallas Cowboy fans, we know we won with Roger Staubach, we won with Danny White, we won with Gary Hogaboom, because it's about the system that Tom Landry put in place, that Jimmy Johnson refined, and that Dave Campbell will implement in the coming 2001 season.
But all right, let's talk about Troy Aikman, though, and this loss, the losing him and losing really a very, very fine quarterback.
Losing Troy Aikman, Phil, I think is devastating. I think this is a young man who proved he had great skills, superior arm. If you look at Troy's stats, he threw for I don't know how many thousands of yards. Hundreds of thousands of touchdowns and everything that he do. And he's from Oklahoma. But you got to remember something. These are the Dallas Cowboys. This isn't the Washington Redskins. You know.
All right. Well, let's not get in. Let's not get personal about anybody else's team.
Well, I'm just saying these are the Dallas Cowboys. You don't keep them down. I fully anticipate, Phil, that next season, Troy Aikman will be inducted into the Ring of Honor.
All right, we're talking to Austin Amarca, who's a Dallas Cowboy fan with a group called Don't Mess with Texas. And you guys are just a bunch of Texans who love your state, and no matter where you live, you...
We sing the praise of Texas. We make sure that everybody knows what a great state it is.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686 to join the Phil Henry Show. Austin, talking about the waiving, and in layman's terms, that means the releasing of Troy Aikman from the Dallas Cowboy football team. His being off of this team, what's it going to mean in the immediate future?
I think it'll be tough, but again, you're not talking about an ordinary football organization. Jerry Jones is one of the finest owners in all of pro football. With Dave Campo on board, you're going to see just a fine football team take the field and really do the do in that National Football Conference Eastern Division. Losing Troy Aikman, it's going to be rough, but I'm sure that Dave Campo will have a fine reserve of young players from which to draw next season.
Who is going to be taking Aikman's place? I mean, in the do you know who's on the bench behind him?
Dave Campo will have him executing the Dallas Cowboys. You got to understand, the Cowboys are like a machine. It all started in 1960. Tom Landry put the system in place, and then everybody else just does what they're supposed to do. They keep their mouth shut. They get out on the field, and they kick. You saw what happened last year when that some gun tried to disrespect the Cowboys in their home field.
Yeah, who was that?
That was that son of a no-good, that motherless Terrell Owens of the 49ers.
That was not cool when he slammed the ball on the star.
That was not, but Emmett Smith got him back.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here's Alan on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
I'm sick and tired of this Dallas Cowboy dribble. Calling from Houston, Texas, where we got the Houston, Texas.
You can't even
put
hold on
pride
to football
in the name
team
of the game
there.
Of football.
What, what's
Texas.
The name of that team again? What's the name of that team again?
The Houston Texans.
Well, that's
a brand new football team that's going to come and show some pride.
Why don't you call them the Houston Californians?
The Houston Californians?
Yeah.
Because California couldn't even raise the support to get a football team going down.
Well,
hey, pal, you bring it on here.
You
bring it on.
Let me ask you a question here.
Dallas,
did you call them? Did you call them the Houston Texans to remind you where to go to see them play football?
You guys couldn't even draw people in your stadiums to watch football, pal. You have no idea what you're talking about.
The Dallas Cowboys, and
tarnish a team here in Houston, Texas. We kicked them out of town. We wanted to establish a sense of integrity in Houston, Texas.
So now you got
all the Dallas Cowboys have ever done is done nothing, and ever since Landry has gone, has done nothing but bring drugs and a flash in the pan style of Deion Sanders to the game of football that has done nothing but tarnish the game.
Son, it's called the Super Bowl. We've won five of them. The Houston Oilers were sitting at home wrapping the doo-doo from the baby's rear ends, watching them. Now you got this Houston.
Okay, all right. We got the general idea. Hold the line here for a minute. Wiping the doo-doo from their kids' butts. Okay, there you go. 1-800-449-8686. Troy Aikman has been released by the Dallas Cowboys. A significant move for a team. This guy won three Super Bowls for them. A lot of yards and a lot of good times. Austin DeMarc is with us from a group called Don't Mess With Texas, Big Dallas Cowboy Booster Club. 1-800-449-8686. And as far as he's concerned, you know, it's typical of Dallas of Cowboy fans. Greatest team. Oh, man. The greatest. Best team there ever was. Anyway, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Great opportunity.
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686, talking to Austin DeMarc of Don't Mess With Texas, Big Cowboy Booster Organization. Dallas Cowboys have released Troy Aikman, and I thought it would be interesting to talk to football fans about this because three Super Bowl rings is significant, Austin.
I should say that it is, Phil, and we will always remember what Troy did for our football team. And we will always be appreciative of what Troy Aikman was able to do. But when you play for the Cowboys, you're part of a larger entity. You're part of a larger organization. It's very, very special. And I don't think anybody can quantify really just what the Cowboys mean. It's more than just a football team. It's a family of fans and players, the organizational and administrative level. We're all band together for one thing, and that's to... boy, I wish I could say on a family radio program what we want to do to the opposing team when we step on the field within the 100 yards confines of the football field. I wish I could say on a family family radio show what I'd love to do to the other team and the other fans, because I'm not on the field, I'm a fan. And if I meet up with a Washington Redskin fan in the parking lot, or I meet up with a Philadelphia Eagle fan in the parking lot, I wish I could say on a family radio...
Okay, so in other words, you want to do bad stuff.
I should say that I want to do some bad, bad things having to do with... oh, man. Oh, God.
Okay, so you...
I just love the Cowboys. And
let me ask you before we go to another call. What about Cowboy fans? You're telling me how great the Cowboy team is. What about the fans? Where do they rate in terms of their...
Cowboy fans are the best...
No. In terms of their knowledge of football, where do Cowboy fans rate? Because I've often said, for instance, Raider fans are the dumbest.
Well, I'd agree with that.
You would agree with that. Okay, where do Cowboy fans...
I don't think there is a more knowledgeable football fan in the history of the game than the Dallas Cowboy fan. I want to do bad things not only to the opposing fans, but I think of bad things to do to their mothers and to the female members of their family. That's how important it is for Cowboy fans to win.
Isn't that a little like pathological?
Well, I'm not talking about really doing it.
But isn't that kind of pathological, getting yourself psyched up that way?
No, you just want to get up for the game. That's all. You just want to get up for it.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. Carrie, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Yes. Hi.
Hi, Carrie.
I am.
Carrie, I understand from our producer that you used to work. Did you work for the Cowboys or?
I worked for a TV station located in Dallas as I was going through college.
Okay.
And I did work for the Cowboys during not this past season, but the season before, and I actually did get to go to plenty of the games.
Did you see the Dallas Cowboy football games from the sideline perspective?
Yes, sir.
Man, you are one lucky young lady.
Well, it's my dream to be a sideline reporter, but why I'm calling is
That's outstanding.
I completely agree with what you're saying about being a Cowboys fan, but, you know, Aikman has been with the Cowboys for a very long time, and, you know, it's his time to go, and hopefully the Cowboys can get a young quarterback in, someone that knows the game, that's educated, and who can play the game, what is what we need. And
well,
I agree.
I agree with that, Kerry. I think Troy Aikman was a fine, fine quarterback. I think he did well as a Cowboy. I don't think you can do better than that. But it is time for us to get some new meat. And would you? He was an attractive man, too, wasn't he?
Well, I mean, I guess so. But
what about all that
gay? That's besides the point.
What about all that gay?
Wait, hold on, Kerry. What do you mean the gay thing?
Well, it was a gay. There was gay stuff that they were talking about. I don't know what that, if that's true or not.
Well, I have heard that he is bisexual, but that's...
Did you hear that?
The game of football.
No, it's not. But unfortunately, I think that kind of thing might tarnish the Cowboy image. When you have a quarterback who leaves the field after a stirring victory over a Washington Redskin or a Dallas Cowboy or a Philadelphia Eagle, and then he's going off with a boy, he's going off with his boy.
That may be true, but God made Adam and Eve.
He didn't make Adam and Steve.
Right.
Yeah, okay,
These
we got it.
These past 2 years with Troy as quarterback, the Cowboys have really have not shown how they can really play, and I think that it's time for them to move on and get somebody young in. Yes, he was a great quarterback. Yes, the Cowboys were great.
Can I ask the young lady a question, Phil?
Go ahead.
Kerry, have you dated any of the Cowboys? Or?
No. I'm strictly professional.
You couldn't say if you did, in other words, right?
No, I mean, literally, I'm very gung-ho being a sports broadcaster when I grow up after I graduate from college.
So you've never gotten it on. Let's be honest. You've never gotten it on with a...
Okay, she doesn't want to answer that.
All right. Another question. If he's bisexual, and I think this is serious, and he is sticking his hands under the rear end of a straight, God-fearing Christian man, I don't know. What do you think of that?
Well, I don't really think that Troy is really thinking that during a game. I think that his mind is directed towards the game and who they're
absolutely,
playing.
Absolutely, yeah.
And the play that he's going to call next. I don't think that
it's
a gay factor at all when it comes to the football game.
Yeah, but you intimate he's bisexual. I'm a Christian man.
I am too. I'm a very strong Christian
woman. And I've got my rear end shoved way up in the air, and here comes old bisexual Troy.
I honestly don't think the players are thinking this as they're playing the game.
You know, if I could jump in here, Austin.
Go ahead, Mr. Henry.
I don't think in the heat of the battle, the thing that Troy Aikman's thinking about, the thing that he thought about, I agree with you, what a tremendous quarterback, was victory for his team.
Exactly.
How to proceed. You know, he sees some guy's butt up in the air.
A friend of mine said, it's kind of a joke, he said, what if he grabs the wrong ball? You know, and he was making a joke. You know what I'm saying, Kerry?
I honestly don't think that it's that big of a deal in the locker room. I've been in the locker room plenty of times, reporting.
So you have.
I've been in the locker room
Do you think that a female reporter should be allowed in the locker room when a man comes walking out of there and the whole nine, you know, some of these boys?
Well, honestly, I mean, I've been there and I've been in the situation to have football players come out where female reporters are. And, you know, you're professional and you don't even look the other way.
Well, you get
your job done. We're just the same as a man reporter. You go in there to get one thing, and that's to get your job done.
So you're not tempted to just maybe get a peek of that guy's
Okay, the lady has already said.
Well, she must take a peek. You don't take a peek.
No, honestly, I'm a 21-year-old girl.
Yeah.
I'm in college, and...
Right.
Yes, when I worked for the station I worked for, my friends would always call and say, will you please? And, you know, if I were to do that,
Kerry,
nobody would have any respect
Kerry,
for me
hold
whatsoever.
On. Hold, Kerry, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. This is the Phil Henry Show at 1-800-449-8686. And this hour, talking about Troy Aikman being released by the Dallas Cowboys. Troy Aikman, who was the stellar performer at the quarterback position for this team for many years. 3 Super Bowl victories, 6 divisional titles, a tremendous appearance in the Pro Bowl year after year. All pro. I think you can say he did the job. Austin DeMarco is with us. He's with Don't Mess with Texas, a Dallas Cowboy booster club. And you're saying that the Dallas Cowboys, with or without Troy Aikman, are going to be a great team?
Absolutely, Phil.
I'd like you to concentrate less on this rumor of bisexuality, okay? Because that's exactly what it is.
No, I understand that. But I'm saying, if Mr. Aikman, for whatever reason, chooses to be a bisexual, I think it's better that he move on. Because I don't think that does the Dallas Cowboys or the Dallas Cowboy organization any good.
All right, Carrie, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Go ahead, Carrie.
I definitely think that we shouldn't even concentrate on the bisexual part either. I'm just saying, likely whatever team Troy ends up, signing with, if he even does at all, he probably will not win another Super Bowl in his career. And
right.
If he does, that'll be great.
Well,
but, it is time for the Cowboys to move on, and hopefully they'll get somebody who's, young and educated, who can stay with the team for a long time and build up the momentum that...
Carrie, are you currently doing television work now? Okay, and
well,
so you've
just for school.
Just for school, and you've been in the locker room. You've been in the Cowboy locker room after the game.
Yeah, I wanted to follow up on that, Phil, because this is a young lady who wants to pursue a journalism career, and yet you do have male athletes who have a right to privacy. Now, I'm going to tell you, some of these guys come out of the shower, and I don't mean to be crude, but they got enough between their legs to get another first down, and I'm sure Carrie knows what I mean.
I'm a very Christian girl. I'm a normal college girl at the same time, but at the same time, I'm very polite.
Well, do you look at the ceiling when you're talking to them, or where do you look?
How about at their faces?
Look right at their faces, just like a reporter.
And you never glance down at your shoe. Look at the shoes I'm wearing. Uh-oh, there's his penis.
Honestly, I'll tell you something funny.
Uh-huh.
Moose, there was another intern... a couple years before me.
Right.
And the Moose, this girl was interviewing him, and she did do exactly what you're saying. And he really got mad, and the station was not allowed to let that intern go back into the locker room ever again.
Now, the Moose is a running back for the Cowboys, right? What's his name?
Who's
the Moose,
anymore,
Mike?
Though.
Moose Johnson, the fullback.
Yeah, Daryl Johnson.
And you know why they call him Moose, too.
Well, he doesn't play anymore, but I'm just saying
he's got enough between his legs to send out for a beer and stay on the field.
Well, that's not football.
Yeah, exactly. Forget it. Forget.
It doesn't matter.
I think the rumors of bisexuality hurt the Dallas Cowboy organization.
There are no rumors. Just forget about it. Carrie,
it hasn't even been talked about in a year or two.
What'd your girlfriend say about Moose?
No, it wasn't one of my friends. I'm just saying that she got in this another intern got in trouble for looking down. It's not professional. And, I'm in this because I love the game of football I've grown up watching it my whole life with my brother and my father. And I'm in it because I love to be in front of the camera. And
I have to say, if Troy Aikman signs with another team, he'll no longer be a Dallas Cowboy. And I believe he'll die and burn in hell because of the rumors of bisexuality.
Well, forget that. Carrie,
All
right, Carrie, thank you for your call. Did you hear what she said? She says it's sad.
I think a lot of ways it's sad.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Lewis on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Yes, sir.
Hey, I've been a fan of the Cowboys since I was growing up. And
God bless you, sir.
And it used to be, when we sit down and watch TV when I was growing up, it was kind of like a ritual on Sunday. The whole family got together and watched the Dallas Cowboys.
Watched the Cowboys play some football and kick some butt.
Bob Beckham was quarterback.
That's right, in the National Football Conference Eastern Division.
Right.
Right. But now, since Jerry Jones took it over, you talk about Tom Landry. Yeah, and Tex Schramm, they've done a great job, but that's not the organization anymore. I mean, now Dallas Cowboys, they don't have no loyalty. Their players are thugs like the other people in the NFL. Jerry Jones has done nothing but dismantle the team.
Wait a minute, son. You're talking about the Dallas Cowboys. You got to have some loyalty here.
Well, I have the loyalty, but you know what loyalty they have? You're talking about all this other stuff when
you got to hang with them through a lot of these things. You know, sometimes you just got to say a prayer at night and say, Lord, please help the Cowboys get their stuff together. All this bisexuality, I know it hurts. Hurts me. What do you think of that?
Nothing. They let Jimmy Johnson go. He tried to build the team back up. You know, now it's just that they have no players that sit there. They're just another team trying to sit stuff.
Are you Christian?
Are you a Christian? Buy a team out. He tries to buy, throws money around.
Are you a Christian man, Lewis?
Oh, why, of course. And all this talk you're talking about is like that's irrelevant to the game of football.
What, the bisexuality?
There is no bisexuality. Why do you keep saying that?
I mean, you're so hung up on that. It sounds like when we talk about football is that the Dallas Cowboys are not America's team anymore because people don't care if they play or not. There's another team, and they're just another team that shows up on Sunday. They're a mediocre team.
I want you to pray with me.
I wouldn't pray with a bigot like you.
I'm not a bigot.
All thing you care about is talking about other things. Is that team?
I swear I won't mention it. I want you, Lewis, as a Christian man and a Dallas Cowboy fan.
I mean, I'm not a fan anymore. They turned me off. I don't even sit there and hardly watch football because of what's going on.
I think you're intimating that I'm a homo fanatic, and I am not, sir.
What is homo fanatic?
I'm against being a homo. Here's what I would say to you, Lewis. Will you pray with me?
Troy Aikman was a good quarterback.
Yes,
he's going to be a Hall of Fame quarterback, but he had a lot of talent around him. This is stuff. He was not a mobile quarterback. He couldn't make decisions on the field. He's a finesse player, and he can pass the ball, but he couldn't make decisions on the field.
And if I'm being homo-fanatic, I want you to tell me. But I believe the Cowboys will rise again, Lewis. And I say, Jesus, please help our Cowboys. And please help Mr. Jerry Jones find a decent signal caller to replace Troy Aikman. Now, I think Dave Campo, whatever.
I think God's got more important things than to try to bless the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, sir, will you at least say with me, God bless the Dallas Cowboys?
Well, I think God bless you. God bless all of you.
One, two, three. God bless the – see, you didn't do it.
Come on.
One, two, three. Another NFL team.
Yeah.
The overpriced
one, people
playing.
One, two, three. God. Come on. You got to help me, Lewis.
No, I mean, it's irrelevant. God's not even involved in the game of football.
Lewis, come on, Lewis. One, two, three.
All right, I'll do it with you, okay? God bless the Dallas Cowboys.
God bless the Dallas Cowboys.
God bless.
I hope he helps you out because
you think I'm homophobic.
You're about as crazy as they come.
Yeah.
And you know what? If you're a Texan, you give Texans a bad name.
Sure, that hurts. Now, that hurts me. God's not involved in football, why do they call it the Hail Mary?
Okay, thank you very much, Lewis, for your call. And good luck to you,
Austin.
In the coming 2001 season, and I heard you use the GD phrase. And
no, sir, I did not.
Yes, you did. I heard you say, GD, I want you to...
No, sir, I did not. How dare you?
Yes, you did. I got the last word. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. You know, Craig, I like this new bumper music. Some of it, though, places me a little west. Some of it places me just west of the central line in Hollywood. Some of it puts me into some clubs that, you know, I just heard that last one there. And I don't want the threat of homophobicism to... Anyway, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. So Don Olmeyer, I don't know if you know who he is, probably not, I don't know. But he's left Monday Night Football after 22 years. What is it, 22 years, did he say, or 22 weeks? I'm sorry. He came back after initially being the producer of Monday Night Football. He came back a few years ago. He hired Dennis Miller, and he's gone now from the Monday Night Football scene. He said the 22-week-a-year travel schedule was grueling. And I was curious as to what, I don't know what that meant, other than if you're a man with a family, I guess that can be, that's tough. So maybe that's what he meant. But just getting on an airplane and flying somewhere, I've never been able to figure out why that's grueling. You get on the plane, you have, you, first of all, if you're a Don Ohlmeyer, you got a secretary making your reservations for you. You don't have to do it yourself. You don't have to, you know, you can make the plane plenty of time. In fact, there's a studio car or a limousine taking you there. You're flying first class. What's grueling about that? And the flights are generally 2 to 3 hours. Sometimes you got to fly across the country. If it's a West Coast game from New York. But what is grueling about having a limousine take you from the network headquarters to the first class lounge at American or United, into your first class seat where you immediately get a drink while you're still on the ground on China with cloth napkins? Up in the air you go, and they're giving you another drink before they serve the in-flight meal. Then they give you a DAT. Then you got your computer. Then you're watching your movies. Then you land. Then someone meets you, puts you in another studio car, a limousine, takes you to the hotel where you probably have a suite. You leave the suite. You go to the ball game in another limousine, and you executive produce, which means you sit there with your thumb in your rear end. How grueling is that? You know, I went into these grueling, you know, those grueling large leather seats in first class, man. Wow, that's grueling. The big wide leather seats and the grueling DAT player that they give you so that you can watch whatever the heck flick, I know what it is. Maybe if you're in business class as opposed to first, you don't get the real good movie. See, let me tell you what grueling is. Grueling is when you are flying coach, you're making your own flight reservations, you're having to leave one job to get to the plane, you're having to hire your own car, you're having to hire your own taxi, you're praying to God that you get there on time, there's nobody getting you through the gate, there's no first class lounge, you're hoping that your seat isn't going to be taken by somebody else because you're just getting there with a few minutes to spare. That's grueling. This lady, Mike, is she worth talking to here? Is Mr. Marcus still on the line? Austin, I understand you're still talking to my producer.
Yes, I was.
All right. Well, there's a woman here who claims that you said GD.
I did not.
Well, there's a lady here, I believe, in Aurora, Colorado, ma'am. Debbie?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm here.
Yeah, go ahead,
yeah,
ma'am.
I sure did hear him say that because I find that very offensive. And I am a Christian.
I'm a Christian, and I would never.
I heard it. You said, GD it, so-and-so, like you were trying to get them to go. I just tuned in just before that, and it was, GD it, I want you to blah, 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 and I heard you say it.
Are you Christian?
Yes, I sure am.
Well, ma'am, I believe you're lying.
No, well, I'm not lying.
That's an offense against the Ten Commandments.
Yes, it sure is. That's why I find it so offensive to hear it on the radio.
What did I say?
I heard you, and I said, don't say.
You didn't hear anything. You know, the problem with you, Mr. Henry, is you're so busy protecting Troy Aikman's butt affections that you...
Okay, that's done. I'm done with him. And you know what, man? I don't want that cat on my show ever again. Protecting Troy Aikman's butt affections. That's what I'm doing here, man? I just don't want your language. Get out of here. Speaking of having an affection for someone else's rear end, Al Michaels, I'm just kidding. Anyway, so yeah, that's pretty grueling there, Mr. Ohlmeyer. That grueling 20, you know what, whatever. I'm sure those guys, they got bigger fish to fry. Hey, you know what? The guy's got a major gun to his head. It's called Make Monday Night Football Something People Want to Watch Again. And that is, yeah, that's grueling. But the travel ain't grueling. Now, getting to Monday Night Football, if I just may say this, since we were talking about Troy Aikman and Dennis Miller and all of this stuff, and he made a comment here. Ohlmeyer said, you know, Dennis Miller's getting better. Dennis Miller is not what's wrong with Monday Night Football. Dennis Miller is a funny man and can be very funny. See, one of the problems that I have, among the many problems that I have, is I often find myself in a minority of one with certain opinions. And here is where people just look at me puzzled. Bewildered. This is when people look at me and just don't, they don't recognize me anymore. When I say this, when I say I'm not an Al Michaels fan, they look at me like, What's wrong with you? What are you, a freaking communist? Are you, what are you? I said, I'm not an, I like his play-by-play, but I'm going to have to say something here that could shock you into your grave. I don't think Al Michaels is all that witty. As a matter of fact, when Al Michaels does what he does every single game, and that is he plays the game of can I top Dennis Miller, I want to shoot my freaking television, man. I want to put my head. You know the commercial where everybody, they've shoved their head to the TV, the TiVo commercial? That's me. Because I got to say to myself this. They hired Dennis Miller to be funny. He's being funny. Why do you got to top it, Al? In other words, everything he says, Michaels has got to come back with a topper. Just shut up and call a game. But that puts me in a minority of one. Here's the other comment that I make, and people say, Jesus, you must be, you know, you're just, you don't get talent, Henry. You don't get what's going on in America. Well, you're probably right. When I say these immortal words, I think Bob Costas is kind of dull, too. And then they really just, oh, well, you know, well, how did you ever get a job in the radio, man? How can you be so, disconnected from American culture and American thought that you don't know that Bob Costas is just brilliant? He's so witty. And his insights into baseball, well, I got to tell you something. There isn't much more sexier in this world. There isn't much more that is going to really, if I may be so crude as to, you know, spawn a chub to prop the tent, listening to Bob Costas give us his insights into the thrilling game of baseball. So we can talk about the crack of the bat and the smell of the fart and the whatever those guys say when they talk about baseball. And I listen to Bob Costas on basketball. It's all I can do to get through the game. You know, I can turn the sound down when that guy's doing it. I can't stand him with his witty witticisms, and he's just a, oh, what a wit. And Al Michaels is the same way. I give you, yes, I understand, I remember. Do you believe in miracles? Yes, the whole bit. I was there. I saw the game. 1980 Miracle on Ice. Fantastic. Great play-by-play guy. Good for you. Good football guy. Great. Just do me a favor. When Dennis Miller is in the booth and he's doing the funny stuff and Dan Fouts does the very insightful stuff having to do with what's actually going on in the field, just don't try to top Miller with your boring observations. Just call the game. Do the play-by-play. Now, that's my feeling. I realize that, as I said, I'm in a minority of one. Everybody else loves you, man. Good for you. You're the man. I just thought I wanted to say that because with Don Ohlmeyer probably can't stand you. As a matter of fact, you want to know what made the travel trip so grueling? Sit next to you. Why am I hostile about it? I don't know. It's just that I'd like to see Dennis Miller succeed. I'd like to see the guy get a running start. I'd like to see the guy get a shot. And as long as he's playing with Al Michaels with the can you top this, it ain't going to happen. What do you mean you rented Butt Affection starring Troy Aikman and directed by Austin Amarca? What's that supposed to mean? You are seriously, seriously depraved. All right, so anyway, football, huh? Hey, you guys been to the XFL games? I hear they're really great. I haven't been to one lately. In fact, I've never been to one, me and everybody else. But there's about 15 people who could tell you all about it. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show. A wave of school threats going across the country. Loaded handgun in a kindergarten class. A revolver with a sawed-off barrel in a middle school. Hit lists in high schools. Even boasts that the Columbine Massacre was mere child's play. These are the things that have been going on across the country. I told you guys last night, you know, sit back, because it's probably not over this copycat thing, because the biggest copycats in the world are kids. And what we wanted to do is to get a youthful perspective on this, something that I don't think any other radio show is doing. Get an actual high school student, get an actual adolescent on the air and talk to the kid about what they want and what's going on with the angst and the anger and the fear of young people today. We are going to bring on the line here from Chatsworth High School Junior R.C. Collins, who joins us from his home in the San Fernando Valley. And the question I would ask you right off the bat, R.C., is what is it that young people are asking for? Do you want more control? Do you want more? Do you want the video games taken away? Do you want to, is that going to help?
Right, Phil. I first of all, great show as always.
Thank you.
I really do believe that that's what we need. Kids don't know how to articulate what they need, but we feel that the best thing for the adults and the grown-ups to do right now is for our parents to take charge. We're acting violent because the violent videos and of the different TV shows, too.
So you, excuse me, you are saying that it's violent videos and...
Tough voice to do, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Get a drink of water.
Okay, can I have... What are you telling me what to do? Just shut up. Where was I?
Violent videos.
Yeah, okay, so the violent videos and the TV shows that are violent, as a teenager, you're saying, take them away from us.
That's exactly what I'm saying, and I'm saying that in conjunction with a consortium of student body and student councils from across the country, which released yesterday a 15-page memo on school violence and what's causing it. As teenagers, we're saying categorically, take the violent videos away from us. Stay home with us at night. Take away the violent television shows. I'm 16 years old, and I'm allowed by my mother to play Kraft, Myth, Turok, and have violent feelings. The teens of America are saying enough is enough. This line we draw in the sand now.
R.C. Collins joining us from Chatsworth. He's a 16-year-old junior at Chatsworth High School. So you're saying that...
I'm saying take the violence away.
Okay. Question for you. You want your parents to take away the violent videos. Have you talked to your mother about this?
Right now, my mother and my stepdad are in Las Vegas, and they're going to be returning from a 3-day vacation up there. We're going to talk about this. And we're going to talk about the things that I need as a teenager. More controls over my television viewing. I don't want to watch violent videos, and I'd like my parents to take them away from me. I don't want to be able to go and see R-rated movies, regardless of whether or not there's an adult standing there with me. I also don't want to be allowed to watch television by myself. I want to have some monitoring. Teenagers are asking for it, but the adults of America are not coming through, and that's why we're here to remind you. We don't want to think our own parents are stupid, but right now that's what we're being led to believe, that you, and I don't say this personally to you, Mr. Hendry, but you, the adults of America, are the stupidest. You're stupid, and you better, we're going to be... It's just going to be bad.
Okay, so we as adults are being stupid because we're letting you watch violent videos. And you...
Yeah, and the violent music. The reason is because a lot of the rap music, for instance, that I listen to, has lyrics in it. Last month, Mr. Hendry, just to give an example, I was suspended for 3 days for slapping my Algebra 2 teacher across the face.
Wait a minute. You were suspended for only 3 days?
Yes, sir, I was. Yes, sir, I was. And I also, that's because I'm listening to a lot of the Snoop Doggy Dog about slapping up my bitch. That music comes into my head, and then I go out and I want to bitch slap somebody.
Well, if you're slapping a teacher, you should have been arrested.
Sir, I don't disagree with that.
You agree?
No, I totally agree. I should have been arrested. I'm sitting at home right now. My mother's in Vegas with my stepdad, and I'm playing Turok, and it's bloody and violent. And that's what I mean.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is the number to the Phil Hendry Show. We're having a very unique, probably hasn't been done before, conversation with a teenager here in Southern California who, he says, was privy to a 16-page memorandum that was drafted by some 20 different student councils, high school student councils across the country. They want more controls. They want violent videos taken away from them. They want violent television shows taken away from them. You're even saying that the rap, which talks about slapping, is influencing you to be violent.
It's influencing me to be violent on account of that.
Do you feel you speak for all teenagers?
I do speak for teenagers when I say that we need to be reprimanded. And I will tell you something else, Mr. Henry, and I don't want to be cryptic, and I don't want to threaten. But unless the adults of America take away our violent video games and the violent TV shows that we're watching, this stuff that went on in San Diego is only the tip of the iceberg.
Okay, now what does that mean? That is a decided...
I don't want to go any further.
What does that mean?
It just means if you got to make us not be bad, and you got to discipline us.
Because that sounded like a threat.
It's not a threat. It's just the way that it is. Kids are pissed, and we don't like the way the world's going. And George Bush is a fascist.
All right, all of this stuff, all of this sort of neo-politicism, all of these...
Sir, there's nothing neo-political about it. It's a definite cry for help.
Okay, well, let's get to that instead of George Bush is a fascist and all the other stuff. What do you guys want?
Jesus Christ, I just said...
And watch your language, okay, pal? You're talking to an adult.
Mr. Henry, I just told you what we wanted.
Okay, you want more control. You want...
Yeah, and so you ask me again? What we want, what we need, is for more adults to take control of our television set, our video games, and the music we listen to. Otherwise, I don't have a choice but to get into a gun safe. And maybe solve my problems that way. I don't know.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. Where did you find this kid? And what memorandum was drafted by high school student councils? R.C. Collins, who's a high school junior, talking to us about the fact, in his opinion, that young people want more control. They want video games taken away. They want violent TV taken away. And they want more control by their parents. Let's go to Brian. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello, Brian.
Hey, how you doing, Phil?
Fine.
Hey, you got the worst possible kid on there. That's not... It's not the rap music. It's not the videos that's making these kids do
okay,
this.
Let me ask you, what do you know?
Because I've got kids.
Are you a teenager?
I was.
Okay, you're not now. And
what
your
matter?
Experience is not
relevant. It's the rap music was still there. Ozzy Osbourne was still playing on the radio back then.
Well,
you're out of your mind. You're nuts.
No, sir. Your experience
nuts.
Is not relevant to
you're
today's
nuts. You
teen.
Slapped a teacher? You slapped a teacher and you're blaming it on rap music?
I'm blaming it on the parents weren't... They should not have given me that music. And
your parents didn't give... Did you buy that music independent of your parents?
Did you put a gun to your parents' head?
My parents knew I had it. And
so that's your parents' fault. It has nothing to do with the music.
That's
your
what
parents
I'm saying.
Your parents are leaving you alone. You're 16 years old. You just beat up a teacher and your parents left you alone? That's it right there.
You need to
that's
get
it right there.
You need to get the violent shows off the TV.
What does that have to do? Okay, so what if Little House on the Prairie's on and Laura Ingalls is hunting? Does that mean that Laura Ingalls is causing you to go buy a gun and go out and shoot? No.
Okay, that's
your parents are not
being
parents.
That's an example of what I'm talking about. You're giving me these cryptic 70s references that have no bearing on
cryptic
my life.
Cryptic 70s?
What is Little House on the Prairie? What is Little House on the Prairie? I don't get it.
It was a TV show. About a family who lived in a house in Minnesota.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm there. What are you guys talking about? I'm talking
what
about...
What does it have to... Music has nothing to do with it. If a song told you to go out and hug everybody, would you do it? Are you
That's
that
different.
Are you that weak-minded that
That's...
you cannot even control that a song tells you to do something?
Hey,
are you absolutely that weak-minded?
I'd want to have sex with a girl.
Well, so what?
Okay.
But is it you want to have sex with a girl because Snoop Dogg told you to?
Yeah. Because
you're weak-minded.
As the adults of America, you've allowed this into my bedroom.
I haven't allowed
your parents. And you
better
start taking charge.
Nobody. It starts with your parents.
And what's Little House on the Prairie? I'm talking about New York Undercover, NYPD Blue, The Sopranos.
You shouldn't be watching The Sopranos. The Sopranos is on a cable channel that's a pay cable channel.
Where are your parents right now?
They're coming back from Las Vegas.
And why do they leave you by yourself at 16?
I know
how to make...
You
have absolutely no structure in your life. It's your parents' problem.
What's it take to put oatmeal in the microwave? I mean, I'm talking about...
We're talking about parental supervision. Thank you for your call, sir. This kid here is saying he wants the control of adults. He wants his video games taken away from him. He wants his rap music taken away from him. The reason why there's so much violence is teenagers are calling out, screaming out for adults to turn the television set off and make them go up to their room and study. Is that what he wants? We'll find out. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show, along with R.C. Collins, who's a high school junior. And we're getting right down to it, talking to young people about violence, school violence, and what's been going on across the country. And you are saying, R.C., and I just want to reiterate what you're saying, and that is that the reason why there's violence is because the teachers are allowing you to watch violent videos. So you're basically saying what the adults are saying.
I'm saying that the adults is right, and the teens... They're lying if they say that it's not about that. What?
I don't know, man. There's something about you that's, like, really off. You know?
I don't want to go out and shoot nobody. I'm trying to get people to see.
I know, but there's something wacky about you. 1-800-4...
Well, Mr. Henry, I love your show, but there's obviously something wacky about you, too.
Okay, but it's not about me right now. It's about your comments. Here is Corey on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
How you doing, sir?
Yes, sir.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
This is, you know what? Actually, I'm 19 myself. This is the worst caller I've ever heard.
Actually, because I'm the guest and you're not the caller.
Actually, you know what? I was actually not pissed off until I heard this caller. It sounds like... How come, you know, kids are always crying about how they want to be treated like adults, how they want to have responsibilities, and this guy's asking for adults to take away all our responsibilities.
You don't!
Like children.
Well, do you think you have the responsibility to watch Mission to Mars and guys being blown
Absolutely
up?
Absolutely I do. You know what? Since I've been 10 years old watching violent movies and playing video games, I've never wanted to go out and kill somebody after I played a video game.
Well, what about when Snoop talks about bitch slapping up his hoe?
Then that's his problem. That's not mine. It doesn't want to make me go slap my teacher.
See, what a lot of people are...
Mr. Henry, if you do me the favor of just... I'm 16. I'm talking to a guy who's of my own age area.
Well, may I say something?
I'd rather that you not.
Please do. I want to hear what you have to say.
No.
Well,
No. Okay, your name's Corey?
Yeah.
I'm RC.
All right, RC.
Okay, man. Check it out.
Check what
the
out?
The dude that shot up the combined high school area.
I'm here in Denver. I know all about it.
Okay, they were listening to music that was of Satan.
How do you know?
Because they said.
Are you influenced by everything everybody else does?
Yeah.
You are influenced. You know what? There's about six people sitting here that are all within my age group. We all listen to music. We all play video games. and not one of us have ever wanted to go out and kill somebody after we played Mortal Kombat.
Well, that's
or
what they
to
say.
Go, or wanted to go, or wanted to go slap my teacher because Snoop Dogg did.
Did you ever play Myth?
I've played all those violent video games, and never have I wanted to go kill anybody.
Well, I will tell you this. You know there's a lot of songs that talk about the chronic and the blunt. If you
and you
will.
Know what? And that doesn't make me go smoke the chronic and the blunt.
Well, Chris Sorensen, my friend, came over. We smoked ganja after we heard a tune about the chronic.
Well, it sounds like you've been smoking a little too much ganja.
Well, I'm saying no matter what the other kid says, we want adults to stop it.
Well, look, I'm hearing, you know, you sound whacked out, R.C. This guy sounds normal.
I'm only telling the truth here. How you like me now, ha-ha.
Dude, are you stoned?
Just like an adult. No, just like an adult.
What?
To ask me if I'm stoned when I'm speaking the truth.
You're speaking the truth for yourself. You're telling everybody what you want.
And by the way, dude, I hate to break the news, but Mortal Kombat sucks major chode. That game hasn't been,
well, whatever violent video games, you know what? If I go inside right now and watch Platoon, I'm not going to go out and start shooting up my apartment complex. And I'm sure as hell not going to blame anything on my parents.
Don't you hate living in an apartment?
Okay, look, thank you very much, Corey, for your call. Here is, this is Frank on the Phil Henry Show. Frank, go ahead.
Yes, I listen to pop music, and if Britney Spears goes, "Hit me, baby, one more time," I'm not going to go stalking her and go, "Oh, I'm going to slap you in your ass," and go, "There, I just hit you, baby, one more time."
You don't want to maybe slap up your hoe?
What?
You didn't hear what I said. I'm talking about bitch slapping up the bitch.
Well, that doesn't even have to do anything with the song. It's a love song. She just broke up with her boyfriend.
Right.
So, "Hit Me Baby One More Time" really has nothing to do with the song. It just rhymes with the lyrics.
Well, how come all you, Mr. Henry, have nothing but normal kids on? What about the ones that want to go blast up the
Okay, I have something to say. Eminem, he says that it's all his mother's fault. All the lyrics are based on his mother's fault. But he's just making up those lyrics. That isn't his real life.
Eminem thinks his mother stinks.
Yeah, but he's just, when he writes
He's just
lyrics,
talking about it. He's playing a character. Am I right, Frank?
Yes,
Eminem
are.
Is sort of playing a character, like that dude Stan.
Yes.
You know? And
Check out the adult telling me all about Eminem.
I'm not telling you all about Eminem. I just know that one thing about him.
What do you think about the adults not taking away violence?
Okay, I have something to say. I've seen a whole bunch of horror films. I've seen Psycho, I've seen Valentine,
yeah.
I've seen Hannibal.
Bitchin'.
But none of those movies want to make me go out and kill my friends.
Did you see Hannibal?
Yes.
What about when the dog ate that guy's face?
Okay.
What about it? You didn't that hurt you?
Those are just fictional characters made up by the author.
That didn't hurt you and make you want to go hurt a
dog? Nope, when I had no Valentine on Valentine's Day, that didn't make me want to go kill someone just to get a Valentine. The movie Valentine was about a lonely guy that killed some of his friends because he had no Valentine.
So when you listen to Eminem, you don't want to drink a fifth of vodka and put your girlfriend in the trunk.
I don't listen to Eminem.
Okay.
I listen to pop like Britney
Spears.
Brother.
Thanks, Frank. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
I don't think that this should be allowed.
Hold on, Phil Henry Show. We're back on the air here, RC. So, watch your language, please.
Yes, sir.
1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. With me is RC Collins. He's a junior, high school junior, talking about the recent spate of shootings in high schools and there've been guns confiscated. And I thought I'd get a high school student on the air. You're saying you want the adults to take away your violent videos. You want the adults to take away the violent films. You want the adults to take away your violent music. You want them to control you more.
Absolutely. I'll give you an example. I was able to download Dale Earnhardt's autopsy photos, and I'm sitting there thinking it's cool. And
you did what?
Yes, sir, I did.
You downloaded Dale Earnhardt's...
You see? You see what I'm saying?
And you thought it was cool.
Yeah, because there wasn't an adult there to say that it's sick and I ought to go to hell for it.
Look, may I be the one?
What?
Let me just say, it's sick and you ought to go to hell for it. All right, calm down, man. Just calm it way, way down. Let me go to Jessica here on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
I don't think that it's the parents. I think it's sort of the parents' fault because they have guns around. But I think they should teach their children the responsible way to use them.
But I've been influenced by the media.
Well, the media is a bunch of crap. You have your own mind. You choose what you do, when you do it. You don't have to go out and listen to the violence just because it's there.
Okay. What's your favorite band?
My favorite band, Jethro Tull.
Wahoo! Who are they?
They're an old band. That's a really old band, Jessica. How old are you? 17?
17.
Man, that's an old band for you to dig.
Well, I'm a flute player, so...
Oh, okay.
Well, I can't... I don't know what that is.
That's an old... It's a classic rock band, okay?
All right.
I mean, what kind of clothes do you wear? Didn't you see them in a magazine?
I wear jeans and a t-shirt.
You're weird.
I'm weird?
You play the flute, huh?
Yeah, I'm damn proud of it. Sorry.
You play skin flute?
Okay, kid, watch it. Did you hear what this kid said?
Yeah, that's true.
Watch it.
That's
don't
totally
put, don't put him back. Don't. Yeah.
He needs more control.
Don't put him back on the air.
He needs more control.
I want you to talk to him, Mike. And tell him that we're now going to exercise parental control, okay?
He needs more control.
So, Jessica, you basically disagree with what this has been the overriding theme here of at least this guest is that teens need control, and you're saying, no, you guys have your own mind, and with the right input, you can make the right decisions.
Yeah.
All right.
Pretty much.
I want to thank you very much. I apologize very much for the rudeness.
That's okay.
Apologize.
I'm sorry.
He's good for a laugh. He's good for a laugh.
Oh, I'm good for a laugh.
Yeah, you're funny.
Guess what? I pull my flute out, you won't be laughing.
Okay, thank you very much for your call. You're a real crude, rude, punk kid.
See, if my mom would talk to me more like that, I wouldn't want to go out and pull my flute out. And another thing...
Just let me ask you, you said something about Scary Movie.
Yes, sir.
What about it?
Scary Movie, I think, is a great example, Phil, of what happened to me. I saw that movie... And I got home from that movie, and I started crank-calling people and going, what's that? That's a violation of California law. That is a criminal offense. It's called nuisance phone calling. Okay?
You're telling me the worst thing that happened to you is you started crank-calling people? I did that when I was a kid. I would call people and,
You call up and go, what's that? And then hang up? No.
And then I did stuff. I used to pretend like I was a little baby, and I would pretend like I was caught in a well someplace. And
you'd scare the mothers and stuff?
Yeah, I'd scare the hell out of these poor women that would answer the phone. I mean, I was a punky, stupid kid. Okay?
Well, and you were looking at violent movies, too.
I might have been looking at violent movies. No violent movie I ever saw made me want to crank call some woman and pretend I was a baby.
Well, I'm just saying, by all rights, I should be in jail now.
You know what? I'm not going to disagree with that kid because I don't really know what you're about. Here is Ben on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Yeah, this person is totally full of crap. I mean, he's...
You talking to me?
Yeah, I'm talking to you. Who else? The wall? I mean, come on, kid. How old are you? 16?
16?
Okay, well, you keep saying that the parents should take away whatever you're doing, right?
Are you a board punk?
Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying they need to control us, yeah.
Okay, well, you're full of crap. You should control yourself. You're the one who goes out and buys the movies. You're the
I bet you hang around with your... I bet you
you're
pull a pack of Marlboros out of your knapsack.
And all that other crap that you do, okay?
Dude, I bet you got your skateboard and a pack of Marlboros in a knapsack.
No, I bet you... You know
and
what?
When your mom drops you off, you go smoke
you're just,
one.
You don't... You can't think. You sound like you're like five. Your voice is so high. I mean, how old are you? Like three?
Okay, where does it get you to insult me?
Okay, because...
The bigger question is...
You're just full of crap, okay?
Hey, you know what? You're full of crap.
Well, you know what? You're full of crap.
And you know something else? Does your mom know you smoke?
Does your mom know you smoke crack?
Hey, dude, I don't smoke crack.
What do you smoke, then?
Well, I ain't smoking.
You just smoke gun.
I'm not smoking crack. You're smoking butt.
Okay, I told you one more time, and that'd be it.
That's right, Phil. He's just full of crap. He sounds like he's three. I mean, this guy is like...
He's not very bright. All right. By the way, have you got a cigarette? No, I'm just kidding. All right, thanks for calling, man.
I do.
Thank you. Did you hear that, RC? RC, you there?
Yeah, he said he do. So that mean he smoke.
He said he do. That mean he smoke. And if you mention one more thing about Dale Earnhardt's autopsy photos...
Well, I got them. They were online, and no adult kept me from getting them.
Here is one more call. Spencer on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi, Phil.
Yes, sir.
I just want to talk to that kid, because this is crazy what this kid's saying. I mean, I've been playing Quake since it first came out. I've been playing Unreal. All the violent games.
What about House of the Dead?
Yeah, I've played that on the arcade. I mean,
bitchiness game.
What?
That's the bitchiness game.
It's a pretty cool game. I like it.
It is. It's awesome.
Yeah, but I mean, still, that doesn't... First of all, the game's about zombies, for God's sake. There's no such thing as a zombie. You can't go shoot a zombie because there's none.
But what I'm saying is the game would make you want to, like, shoot up zombies, and if there's no zombies, what's left? You got it. Real people.
Okay, that was a pretty illogical statement. I mean, I've been playing these games since I was eight, you know, shooting people, killing people, watching all the R-rated movies, Die Hard, Die Hard 2, Die Hard with a Vengeance. I mean, they're great movies, but that doesn't mean that I'm going to go kill people.
Well, don't you want your parents to kick down the door to your room and, like, go through your stuff?
Oh, yeah.
I don't need their supervision because I'm watching it in their media room, the DVDs and the VHSs that they've bought.
Don't you want your mom to go through your backpack looking for seeds?
For what?
For, like, stems and seeds.
No, I don't smoke marijuana, buddy. I think that's got to be second dumbest thing ever.
What about when Snoop did that album, The Chronic?
I don't listen to Snoop.
Hey, dude,
I listened to Eminem before, and I gotta say the music's pretty appalling. And I have listened to one of his CDs, and after listening to it, I don't want to shoot somebody or kill my mom or put her my girlfriend in the back of my trunk.
Have you ever seen like the fold out in the Playboy magazine?
No, I don't look at pornography.
Dude, you never saw a nude girl?
No.
Oh, bull, dude. If you seen a nude girl, you'd want to play flute.
All right, man. We got your flute references already. Five times. Spencer.
Well, you know, I have more control and, I guess, more sense than to go around polluting
your
my
point,
mind with pornography.
Is your point, RC, that if you see a nude girl, you want to have sex with her?
Bingo! And that's the media's influence over the flute playing of young men in the American place.
What an idiot.
What?
You're an idiot. Listen, thanks a lot for your call, Spencer.
Okay, no
and,
problem.
Yeah,
thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
Yeah, no problem, Phil.
Yeah, great. Thank you, too. (laughs) 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show. (1-800-449-8686) Phil Hendry Show. Now, where are you going to get radio like that? That was 45 minutes with R.C. Collins and other teenagers talking just, you know, kid to kid. Where are you going to hear that? Except on the Phil Hendry Show. And where are you going to hear kids talking to another kid who they think is a kid, and it's actually me? Where are you going to hear that, man? You ain't going to hear nowhere other than here. I keep telling you that. And that's a tough voice to do, because what happens is you break into that high-pitched RC voice, then you come back down to your normal voice, and you heard me gagging and coughing if you heard the beginning of the hour, because you're stretching your vocal cord out, and then you're compressing it back down, and it's tough. So that's a hard one. I was actually in speech therapy for about 5 months back in the mid-80s, because I suddenly one day, it was after a cold, I'd had a particularly bad cold during the winter, and my voice was still kind of rough, you know, I still was hoarse. The cold was long gone. It was 2 weeks later, and it's still hoarse. And I'll tell you, you know, if you use your voice for a living and you have any problems with it, you can freak out pretty quick. You know, you can start, your mind can start racing. And I was a cigarette smoker then. So I'm freaking. I'm going, what the hell is wrong with my voice? And I go to this guy, this ear, nose, and throat guy in Pasadena, and the guy took a look down at my vocal cords, and he said, well, you got vocal nodules, man, which is like a callus on your vocal cord. And I said, Jesus, what do I do? He said, well, and this guy was such a great doctor because he didn't recommend me getting surgery. He said, you need to go to speech therapy and learn how to use your voice right so you don't get those things. And then they'll go away because they're like calluses. And if you like your hands getting calluses, if you use your hands properly, if you put gloves on them, if you stop doing whatever it is you're doing to get calluses on your hands, the calluses go away. And you put enough baby lotion on there, and you know, it's your own business what you do with baby lotion, but you know, your hands are soft. So the same thing happens with your voice. And so this was a great, thank God I ran into this guy, and it wasn't one of these quacks that told me to run out and get laser surgery on my vocal cords. Because when you get laser surgery, it creates scar tissue, and your voice is not as elastic as it used to be. And I know of singers who've gone out and had that kind of surgery, and their voice is never the same. So when you're way up here, or you're way down here, you know. Now, I used to have a Mickey Mouse falsetto. I don't have that anymore. I used to be able to do Mickey Mouse. I can't do it anymore. It's gone. I don't know if that's a product of age, like too many smokes. I don't know what it is. Maybe I can get it back. Maybe if I went into some kind of training, I could get it back. But the point is, as a result, I never had to have that surgery, and they did go away, and I learned how to use my voice, and I don't talk from my throat. And it's just a whole thing, man, that, you know, that I know how to do. But anyway, and thank God for it, because I still can do RC. And I know a lot of the fans are saying, we hate it when you talk about how you do the show. Hey, you want to know something? I'm getting so sick and freaking tired of doing the show and not getting any credit for it. Just imagine you going to your job every day, doing a great job, and nobody gives you any credit. They think it's some mysterious guy there helping you. That's what it's like doing this show. Well, things are going to start changing around here very quickly. I'm going to start getting full credit for what I do. I don't hire no actors. I don't have anybody calling in. We don't pay people to call. We don't pay callers to play along. We don't do any of the stuff that all the other talk show hosts you've ever listened to do. We create magic here every freaking day. And I say we, I'm being kind to Craig and Mike and Melissa, but in point of fact, it's all me. No, I'm kidding. You guys help, but it's me doing all the stuff on the radio. And it just gets a little wearying. So, I've been having meetings with a lot of the people that help produce this radio show, and they say to me, well, why do you do that? I said, because I want credit. I think it's a normal thing. It's a normal thing to want to take credit for the good work that you do. That's what we're going to start doing around here on the Phil Henry Show. And I frankly don't care the longtime fans, you know, if they don't dig it, you know, bug off. Go someplace else. Because I'm going to start. If you don't dig it, you think, oh, man, you're really blowing it, Phil. I know what I'm doing. With all due respect to the great people that have made this show the success that it is, just step out of the way and let Phil do what he's doing, okay? Just don't worry about it. Like a bunch of freaking grandmothers out there. And you're telling everybody what the bid is, and if you do that, then you... Don't worry about it, man. People, you won't believe the inexhaustible supply of human beings that'll call talk shows. It would dazzle your imagination. It would blow your freaking mind. Just let me do... I know what I'm doing. I've been doing this for almost 30 bloody years. I know exactly how this thing works. There isn't anything... And I'm not the brightest guy in the world. In fact, in a lot of ways, I'm just flat freaking stupid. But when it comes to the radio, there isn't a whole lot anybody can tell me. There isn't hardly, seriously, I know all about this business. I know everything there is to know about this business. You know, I was born to be on the radio. This just happens to be, I'm not saying that I'm the greatest thing that ever hit the airwaves. I'm not, by a long shot, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying when it comes to radio, there's nothing that anybody knows that I don't already know. And because of that, we've been able to manipulate the medium and take it places where it's never been before. I'm going to be on a panel this weekend, a talk radio panel. It's an industry panel. I saw that. Get a load of this, Craig. I saw the title of this panel I'm going to be on. It's like basically what it is, a panel for losers or something. I don't know what. It's going to be a talk radio panel, and the name of the panel is From Here to Hell and Back. Hitting bottom didn't stop any of these nationally syndicated talkers from reaching the top. And I said, what is it? It's like hitting bottom and sailing right through it didn't stop Phil Hendry from, you know, whatever it's then. And the guys are going to be on this panel. Comb Over Boy is going to be on it. A cat out of New York named Joey Reynolds is going to be on it. And I can't remember the other guys, but the way it makes it sound, we all went right straight into the garbage can, but somehow clawed our way back out. This ought to be a riot being on this panel, because I heard about who the moderator's going to be, and I'm not going to mention any names, but in any event, it ought to be really funny, and it's going to be, and I'm not telling you guys where it is, because we don't need you around, okay? No, we love you very, and I thank you for listening, and I love you. This is an industry thing. It's only for creeps that work in radio. And believe me, you wouldn't want to spend 5 minutes with us. I, serious to God, just stay home. You know, it's an industry thing that's happening. I'll tell you, it's out on the west side. That's all I'm going to tell you. And there's people here from all over the country, and they're going to be, whatever the hell it is that radio people do when they get together. Basically, drinking is what we're going to It's going to be a lot of booze and going up to, have you been up to the premier radio suite? And they'll walk into the premier radio suite. Hi! And there'll be large placards there for the Rome show and you know, everybody and me and Laura and Rush and everyone. It'll be fun. So make sure that you're not there, okay? It'll be ugly. Anyway, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show, reminding you that this show has raised $114,043 for my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, thanks to your purchasing the number one rated Phil Hendry Show Best of the Year 2000 CD and picture disc vinyl. And if you haven't, you can by calling 877-616-PHIL, 877-616-7445. All of it goes to benefit my friend's place. One 800 449 8686. The Phil Hendry Show. I'm Phil Hendry. 70s parties are prevalent these days. People like to have parties honoring the 70s. People who were in high school in the 70s are now just hitting their 40s, and so it's sort of that period where you recapture your childhood. And there is in Corona, California, kind of a nasty legal dispute arising out of a 70s party that took place in a suburban home out in Corona. Harvey Wireman is an attorney at law. His client is Stephen J. Buzzell of Corona. And Harvey, you guys are in your office.
We're speaking to you from San Marino right now, Phil. Yes.
And is Mr. Buzzell there?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
How are you, Steve?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
And you are suing a neighbor with regard to something that happened at a 70s theme party that he had.
That is correct, yes, sir.
Okay, I don't know how you want to start this, Harvey.
Well, let me jump in, Phil. I don't know if you know, but these 70s parties are very much a part of the suburban scene, recapturing the swinging sexual aspects of the 70s.
Does this have to do with sex?
Well, let me just fill you in, and then I'd let Steve take over here. But we think what has happened and what we are claiming, and what we'd like to make very clear, is that this environment belittled opened my client to abuse, to the alienation of affections, and we think he's entitled to damages.
Steve, what happened at this party? Whose home was it?
Yes, sir. This was at the home of Dale and Lorraine Montez. These are friends of mine. It had been a 70s-style party celebrating Dale's 40th birthday. He's turning 40.
Okay.
70s parties are intense. They're kind of interesting, but they can be dangerous, and sometimes they recreate all the swinging aspect of everything.
Yeah, my client at approximately 9:22 on February 23rd in the evening hours was at the residence of Dale and Lorraine Montez, and he was asked to play a game of Twister.
With my wife there as well, Mr. Henry.
All right, Twister. I know Twister. My kids have that game.
Right. It was a game that originated in the 70s. And this was with his wife and the Montez couple. And Steve, go ahead.
Well, we all got twisted up. We were doing twisters, so you put your feet on these different squares. And I showed up in the spirit of things. I was trying, I had on bell-bottom pants and platform shoes. Trying to be in the spirit.
Okay, so you guys are standing on this twister thing, right? And your feet are...
Yeah, his feet are on different colors, and everybody's all twisted up. Good, Steve.
And they spun again, and it said left-hand blue, and Lorraine, who is Dale's wife, she reached over to make the move, and we all fell down. We were not able to maintain standing up, because what you have to do in Twister is to... remain standing up.
Let me explain to everybody what Twister is. You basically have to stand there and put your hand on different colors and put your feet on different colors. You know this game, Craig? And you can't fall down.
That is correct. And what happened was the pile of people fell down.
And we all fell down in a pile. Dale Montez wound up on top of me. And I was trying to move, and Mr. Montez thought it would be funny to keep me pinned down.
Mr. Henry, Mr. Montez was sitting directly on my client's face and then exposed my client to possible injury by the juvenile action of expending toxic methane gas from his rectum into my client's face. Completely juvenile, completely embarrassing.
All right. He farted on your client's face.
That is absolutely correct.
That's correct, sir. I pushed him off of me, and I was very angry, and I had said to him, and I had...
We wrote it down exactly what was said. You busted ass on me, and, of course, he denied that, and...
What did Mr. Bozell say?
I told him that he had busted ass on my face, and that he denied it, and that's part of the dispute.
Okay. Can I interrupt here, Harvey?
Sure.
Are you guys suing?
Phil, we are claiming damages in the high six figures. I'll tell you why. Because... my client was exposed to a completely juvenile act. It was a harassing act. We believe it was an assaultive act. It was a humiliating thing to do to a man in front of his wife. And we think that when adults get together, that's fine. You can have fun. But you must act as an adult and not as children. He kept my client pinned to the ground by straddling his face and then purposefully broke... gas onto his face. And to me, that, while it may sound funny to some people...
Steve, you gotta understand, it absolutely does sound funny, okay?
If you think possible methane burns along the nostrils is funny...
I have gone to the doctor. He said that I have had some damage. My olfactory sense has been damaged, and I can't... I had a difficult time eating. My eyes continue to water, and I've had some sexual dysfunction as well.
Well, wait a minute. Are you claiming sexual dysfunction because this guy farted on your... And forgive me, okay?
Yeah, well, what we'd like you to do is take this a little bit more seriously, because this is beyond the juvenile joke of farting on someone's face. There could have been physical damage.
Okay, I got that. Are you claiming sexual dysfunction as the result of what this man did... psychologically or physically?
We don't know. We've had to have.
I went to two doctors who they say it's psychological, but I'm unable to perform sexually because of the horror of having him break ass on me. And that's...
Let me just say, Phil, as again, we are looking for damages in the high six figures. And
okay, your client, the word ass, you know...
I understand that.
I mean, because we still got kids listening to the program here. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. So you guys are suing this Mr. Montez because he held your client down. Let me play devil's advocate here for a moment, Harvey.
Of course.
Some people are going to say, this is really kind of funny, kind of juvenile. Okay, it was done in front of the man's wife. I understand it was done at a party. Is he a good friend of yours?
I'm sorry, Phil, you talking?
Yeah, I'm talking to you. Is he a good friend of yours?
We've known each other through business for the last 15 years.
All right. It sounds like roughhousing that men do, even men, probably more kids. You're right, it's probably a little bit juvenile. But how are you going to get a court? How are you going to convince a judge, Harvey, that this kind of thing is nothing more than just roughhousing between men and certainly is not worthy to be heard in a court of law?
Well, Mr. Montez expelled methane gas from his anal area, and that's said nice enough for you, Mr. Henry.
Yeah, that's said nice enough.
Okay. That is a potentially explosive gas. Whether you know it or not, it is a flammable. It also, if I were to take mace, if I were to take any poison and spray it directly into your face, would you say that I had the right to do that?
No, of course not.
Well, that in effect is what happened to my client when this man, who he'd known in business, sat on his face,
he farted. Can we use the word?
Well, the court record indicates that he expelled poisonous gas from his.
Hello?
I'm trying to find the court record. Hold on.
Mr. Henry, he broke ass on...
Sir, please don't use that word anymore.
That he expended toxic gas from his rectum.
Okay.
Now,
okay, what about it?
Well, we are going to introduce exhibits to prove that this was an intentionally...
How can you say it's an intentionally malicious act or anything?
Because, first of all, we have been able to introduce, and we had the police department tag it for evidence. There were nachos with jalapenos eaten not 15 minutes before by the defendant before the methane expulsion. Additionally, Denison's chili cans were found, at least three. It is our contention that this was done purposefully. It is our contention that this was done. And thank God Mr. Bozell's 70s-style shirt was flame retardant.
Uh-huh.
And by the way, Mr. Henry, you love to talk about how adult your show is. Bull crap.
Well, all right. Hold on. I've never heard of such a thing. And while these guys admit that it's juvenile, and they admit that it's roughhousing between men, there is a lawsuit that will be filed by that attorney against this man for farting on his client's face in the middle of a game of Twister. And while I said this is just roughhousing between men, he said it is assault with a potentially poisonous substance. So this is a first, and they're asking, he said the high six figures. We haven't seen a number yet. 1-800-449-8686. Thank God his 70s shirt was flame retardant. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show. It's February 23rd. It's 9:22 in the evening. It's a suburban home in Redlands, California. Two couples are playing Twister. The four people fall down because the Twister game is over. Somebody couldn't quite make a maneuver. They all fall down. One of the men sits on the other man, apparently sits on him with his rear end pressing into the guy's face, cuts a fart, and now the guy who was farted on is suing. And that is the situation we have here with Mr. Stephen Bozell. His attorney, Harvey Wireman, is on the line with us from San Marino. And you gentlemen are asking in the high six figures.
Absolutely so.
I can understand. I can almost understand a claim because you say it was a poisonous substance.
That's what we're saying. And also, Phil, that the other thing we're claiming is that I was embarrassed in front of my wife by having this guy fart on me. And I don't think if the men in your audience were honest and the women in your audience were honest, they would also say that it's a humiliation that they've never had to go through to have their husband have that happen.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Patrick on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello?
Hi.
Yes, sir.
I was just listening to the tail end of that and glad you gave the full explanation. At first, I thought he had actually broken a nose or something, but I don't know who's the big moron, the client or the attorney in this.
Sir, my client has suffered physical injury, eyebrow and hair loss, loss of consortium, sexual dysfunction.
You guys are claiming sexual dysfunction because the guy got someone caught a fart on him.
You know, you can look at it any way you want, Mr. Henry, and I would say to this gentleman...
Well, dude, you should have just blasted off and, you know, continued with the game or enjoyed the evening. I mean, you're saying that you can't have sex with your wife now. I think maybe you had problems like that before this happened.
I never had any problem with having sex with my wife. But
well,
I would ask
just
you,
her
sir,
laughing at you, how could you have started not having sex with your wife because of that?
Because, geez, I was ridiculed in front of my wife. Now I don't look as much as a man to her because a man busted, you know, a fart on me. And I would ask you, what, sir?
Dude, the guy just, you know, he farted on you. It was probably an accident. I doubt he did it on purpose.
That's the other thing.
I mean,
okay.
Were you guys drinking or something that night?
I would be willing to believe that were it not for the fact that my client claims he sat on him and held him down.
Were you trying to get up, Steve?
I was trying to make the move to get up after the game, and he would not let me up.
Well, is he bigger than you?
No, sir, he's not. He's not bigger than me, but if you can imagine the position I was in, I'm wrestling with this guy to try to get him off of me, and next thing I know, he purposely breaks, you know, cuts a cheese on me.
Well, if you're, look, the whole thing
every
is...
Every time I see, you know, and the other thing is, I guess you think it's, I look at nachos now, I smell butt gas everywhere.
This is ridiculous, man.
Look, and the attorney, I can't believe... You, as someone who's in a profession that, you know, I know a lot of people talk about attorneys and the legal profession, but you're one of the reasons that's making the legal profession so disgraceful.
Let me ask you a question, sir. You are there, and your wife sees another man break ass on your face. You're not humiliated in the eyes of your wife?
No. I mean, come on. In one party, my wife, just a joke, pulled a chair out from under me, but... I don't sue her. I laughed. Everybody else laughed. It was a joke.
Well,
it was funny.
He's not suing his wife, but Mr. Montez.
But still, it's the same thing. I mean, I don't sue the friends I was with for laughing at me.
You know, I got to tell you guys something. When I was working in construction, I was walking, this is years ago when I was like a cement finisher. Anyways, on a job site, and I'm climbing a ladder just underneath my boss. My boss is going up the ladder ahead of me.
Yeah.
And he thought as a gag it would be really funny because it was like 7 o'clock in the morning. He caught a fart right on in my face as I'm walking up this ladder behind him.
And you, what did you say?
That's funny.
I thought it was funny. I mean, I cussed him out. You know, I'm like, hey, dude, it's early, and, you know, I can't take it. I'm not suing the guy.
Mr. Henry, what remedies you don't take for yourself doesn't mean that my client has to sit there and allow someone to leak ass gas on him.
I mean, who's the client here? I'm sorry, sir. What's your name?
My name is Mr. Wyman. I'm the attorney, and Mr. Bozell is my client, and
Mr. Bozell.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Bozell, this whole thing about you wanting to sue, I mean, first off, were you, like, picked on as a kid?
No, sir.
Your self-esteem shallow?
My client is not going to. That's a Fifth Amendment situation.
I'm not even trying
what?
to...
Okay,
try
look,
him for
Pat,
something.
All right, Patrick, thanks for your call. Hold on. Let me go to another phone call here. And what do you mean Fifth Amendment?
He's not going to be in case he gets to be incriminated.
For what? He's asking if he was picked on as a kid. Cody, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am. Hi.
I just think it's ridiculous that he's suing his friend for something that guys do all the time, and they do think it's funny.
That's
I've never met a guy that, you know, does that and doesn't think it's funny. I've never met not one guy.
Okay, that's true, but he purposely loaded up on chili and nachos just before I come over.
No, okay. He ate that.
You see how you're laughing right now? That's exactly what my wife did to me.
Oh, so now you can't have sex with her?
Why would she laugh at me?
A joke is a joke,
sir. Let me tell the gentleman
was your friend.
I will tell the lady, Phil, we are going to have a doctor testify on our behalf that Mr. Bozell suffered burning, olfactory damage.
Burning.
Yes, ma'am, burning.
Burned his face.
Methane burning, yes, ma'am. And
from a fart?
You know, you
but
like,
really, seriously,
you
what
like,
guy?
You like using that word, don't you, Mr. Henry?
You're the guys that are coming on here talking about expelling methane gas from a rear end or whatever. You know, that's what we're talking about here, okay?
Have you ever met a guy that did that and didn't think it was funny? Ever?
I've never busted ass directly on somebody, if that's what you're talking about.
Right, but it probably was an accident.
But, well, why
I mean,
did he
really,
pin me?
It probably was.
Why did he pin me down?
That's what we can't figure out. Why would he sit on him and pin him down and then squeeze the cheese?
Well, they were playing Twister.
They're playing Twister.
Right. I mean, people fall down.
So you guys think this is a bullcrap lawsuit?
I absolutely do.
Yes, we do.
Well, some people have very
And besides that, does the guy have that much money for him to sue anyways?
I don't.
We'd have to look at his financial records.
I mean, probably not, so you wouldn't get it anyways.
It was very spicy. It probably hurt just as much coming out of his ass as it did going up my nose because of the fact that it was probably jalapeno pepper induced.
You know what I think?
Okay.
You know what I think?
What?
I think the guy is just making an excuse because he can't have sex with his wife.
Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry with Harvey Wireman, attorney at law. Steve Bozell, his client. Mr. Bozell is suing a neighbor after the neighbor sat on him during a game of Twister and farted directly on his face. You're claiming physical injury. You're claiming alienation of affections because your wife laughed at you. You believe that, Mr. Wireman, you claim that your client has been traumatized.
What came out of Mr. Montez's butt area. So we have requested discovery from the defendant's counsel. We need pictures of the butt crack to prove what was in there.
And don't you guys hear yourselves? Don't you hear what you're doing? This is absurd. This is...
Well, you know, Mr. Henry, that's the argument that's used a lot these days. When people's rights have been violated, this is absurd. There has been indication that my client has suffered from post-traumatic stress syndrome. He was in an aisle at the supermarket. They called the EMTs because there was some traumatization. He was picking up a can of Denison's, as a matter of fact.
You're telling me they had to call an ambulance because your client...
Because of the stress, Mr. Henry...
When you see chili, what happens?
I feel...
My client is taken back to the horror of that moment. And while you think that it's frivolous, my client is the one who suffered the injury.
The injury. Let me talk to Sam, because are you a physiologist, Sam? Or
not a physiologist,
what do you do,
Mr. Henry. I'm a gastroenterologist.
All right, well, then what? You'd be the guy to talk to.
This is the
that
kind
I would.
Of...
In fact, if this ends up in court, you're going to have gastroenterologists with different philosophies. First of all, we're not talking about farts. We're talking about flatulence.
Let me ask you a question, sir.
No.
Is it true
let
you
me
can light
you
ass
for
gas?
A second.
Is it true that you can light a fart with
we're
a
We're also not talking about butts. We're talking about rectum.
But you know what I'm saying, right?
Excuse me, sir?
I'm asking you, is it true you can light a match, flatulent all over it, and it'll shoot a flame out?
Depends very much on what the substance is, which, by the
Thank
way,
you.
Is dependably non-toxic.
So, non-toxic, and yet it's
absolutely, absolutely non-toxic.
And yet it's flammable.
Sir, can you think of other substances that are non-toxic but flammable?
No, I can't, sir, and I think that's the point that the plaintiff is going to have to address. Okay, the defendant is going to have to address. Anything that you can light that is flammable.
Now, wait a minute. I just had a Mayan coffee in Mexico 3 weeks ago. You
Thank
can
you,
light
Mr.
that.
Hendry.
You can
Thank
light
you.
That on fire, and yet I was drinking it.
You had a what?
You know, Mr. Hendry, that's a perfect example.
I mean,
and by the way, to underscore the non-toxic.
Oh, crap.
Oh, that's very lawyerly. Go ahead,
me,
sir.
To underscore the non-toxic nature of flatulence, there's an Aboriginal culture in New Guinea that uses flatulence, if we can talk about that, to clear sinuses.
Yeah, and those guys don't even have cars. What are you talking about? So you've got a culture of guys that build their houses out of mud, and you're using them as an example of how to improve one's physiology.
You know, I think
you testify for the defendant. I, honest to God, I would make mincemeat out of you on a witness stand.
Wait a second. I asked the question. Sam heard me. I drink a Mayan coffee, which they ignite the liqueur before they.
It's burned off the poison.
What has?
Igniting that liqueur burns the poison off of it before you drink it.
You know, I don't know how this is degenerated into talking about Mayan liqueurs. All I'm telling you
that's
both.
Bull crap, man.
Oh, now I see, Mr. Henry. So you know, you all of a sudden, you know what that. What do you think you're burning off of that liqueur?
The alcohol.
All right. So the toxic effect of that is lessened.
You're assuming that the alcohol is the toxin.
All right. Thanks, Sam. Thank you for your call, because I think that what you're saying.
Here in America, we use Nasonex, not little bottles filled with ass gas. If you want to clean out your sinuses, use some Cynade, use some Dristan. Don't shove your nose up someone's ass. Jesus. Who's screening your calls anyway?
He was talking about a culture in the South Pacific.
Whoopee, I live in America.
Mr. Henry, I don't want to have to put my nose up someone's butt just to get...
I'm not saying you do. Ron, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello. Ron?
Yeah.
Go ahead, sir. You're on the air.
Yeah. I just want to make the point that if everybody was as frivolous with lawsuits as this character is, you know, this world's going to be in a world of hurt. I've never heard anything so ridiculous in my life.
Well, sir, if you consider the injury that my client could have suffered, I don't think it's frivolous. I don't think you, Ron, should have to be injured frivolously by someone and not have the right to go to court to redress that grievance. Please.
Now, what would have happened if he would have sat on a whoopee cushion and the whoopee cushion broke and it stung his butt? Would you sue him for that?
If there is proof of physical injury due to the malfeasance or to the negligence of another party, yes, sir.
What's your fee? Are you charging off of how much you're going to make off this deal? If the guy's paying you up front for fees, I don't understand it. Why this guy's even taking you on,
sir,
if you're going to go to court with this kind of crap?
I take a standard 40% contingency. And I would further say to you that if you're in a workplace or if you're in anybody's home and they walk up to you, shove your face into their... You know, it sounds funny, okay? I'll give you that. But do you think you are supposed to stand there and take it when some guy shoves his ass up into your face and farts?
You know, you got to pick the moment. It's not like he's out on the street and somebody grabbed him from behind a building, threw him down, dropped his drawers, and pooped in his face. Okay, it's not even close to the same
thing. It's almost like that.
Well,
sir,
I would say that I was blindsided by it. I had no idea that night someone would sit on my face and cheese on it.
Well, I don't doubt that, but you also know that you were amongst friends, you were partying around, having
right.
a good time,
right.
and this guy cuts the cheese,
right.
and all of a sudden you're going to sue him for how much?
We are looking for the high six figures, somewhere in the neighborhood of $700,000.
Oh, yeah, well, you know, that's worth it, I would imagine. And if your wife's not willing to have sex with you or relations with you because of this, then you got a pretty shallow wife.
What about,
you better check into that. You might want to get rid of her, too.
What about the fact that I'm losing my eyebrow here?
Your eyebrow from a fart?
Yes, sir.
Oh, my God. Geez, I hope you're all right.
Well, you know, your name's Ron, right? I can tell you, Ron, I realize it seems frivolous to you, but in the court of public opinion and in the United States...
From the point of a lawyer, you'll sue for anything, buddy.
Sir, I thank God we live in a country where a man is not reduced to the humiliation of having someone bust the butt on him, and he can't do anything about it.
Oh, come on, man. You know what?
Well, you can.
You know what, Harvey? You're a lawyer. You ought to know better. Judge is going to toss this out.
I don't think so.
I'll bet you money. I got $1,000 that says no judge will hear this.
You're on.
I'm on?
Yeah, you bet.
Okay. You got it. I got your number. You got mine. Good luck, guys.
I just don't want a man bust ass on me.
I got that, Mr. Bozell. Thank you very much. Ron, thank you for your call.
You bet.
That's the easiest $1,000 I ever made. 1-800-449... What?
I just spoke to the judge. He's hearing the case. He's setting it for trial in June. Ha-ha-ha!
Is that for real? Well, thanks for telling me, man. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show, reminding you that you can pick up a copy of our number one rated Phil Henry Show Best of the Year 2000 CD or picture disc vinyl. So if you like what you heard on our show today, you can get little collected snippets from all of our stuff over the last year by calling 877-616-PHIL, 877-616-7445. And lest you think we are raising money for ourselves, this money all goes to charity. It goes to My Friend's Place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. We don't take any money for ourselves, but that's going to end very soon. That's going to, you know, you do that charity thing the first few years, then you start putting a few dollars away for yourself. That charity thing's only good so far. Then you start looking at all the money you raise. You go, what the hell am I? Look at this. 114 G's. I'm giving that away? Just since November. That's my pool. Anyway, please help. As, you know, for the little time that they have left. No, I'm just kidding. For help My Friend's Place. They're nice people. And there was a very interesting article, I guess, a couple of months ago. The state of California... And probably this is true nationally as well. Lawsuits, civil lawsuits, are beginning to decline. Now, I don't know if you know how significant that is in this state especially. California, and especially the city of Los Angeles, the most litigious city in America, which probably means in the world. And it is now on the decline. People are finally sucking it up a little bit. They're finally, you know what I'm saying? They're finally handling life's little indignities, and they're not running around and suing every time somebody looks cross-eyed at them. And I want to say, I'm tempted to say, dare I say, yes, I will say it, I think this show has had a lot to do with it. Because since we came on the air here, all we've ever done is make fun of it. We make fun of every idiotic lawsuit. Every little frivolous statement, every little goofy, you know, busted ass, peeing in the pool, you know, the dive stick. Do you realize, by the way, that the dive stick is against the law in this state? The dive stick that you throw into a pool and that the kids dive in and get. You know what I'm talking about, the dive stick? You know it's against the law? Because somebody might have it wedged up their rear end. Someone sued. Now, remember when we did that? We did a Steve Bozell lawsuit where he got a dive stick shoved up his rear end. Well, we were just goofing. Like 3 months later, somebody actually filed that lawsuit. So, now, I'm a reasonable man, so you tell me, how in the name of God does someone get one of those wedged up their rear end? How does that happen? Some nutcase, some idiot in a swimming pool one day. Judge takes him seriously. Judge hears the case. Judge thinks he's being reasonable. I'm not blaming the judge. Guy's got to deal with it. I think the least frivolous lawsuit I ever heard of was that old lady who got scalded by the McDonald's coffee, the one that everybody says is silly. I don't think there's anything silly about it at all. I think you have a reasonable expectation that somebody's going to give you a cup of coffee that isn't going to sear the freaking leather off of the seat of a rental car. I don't think there's anything wrong with expecting you're going to get a cup of coffee that won't peel paint. But all this other stuff. Anyway, those lawsuits are now dropping. And I think, and I'm just going to say it, a lot of it has to do with our show pointing out to people how silly they look, how stupid they look, how ignorant their lawyers look when they actually walk into a courtroom with this crap. We laugh at you. We mock you. We love you. This is the Phil Henry Show. Thank God for you. Otherwise, we wouldn't have had all those great Steve Bozell deals. See, that's how it works.
Being a Hispanic, you're not talking about the right subject, man. We're talking about minorities becoming more in the majority, right?
Right. I'm talking about our people.
Okay. It has nothing to do with food. It has nothing to do with Cuervo. It has nothing to do with anything. It has to do with people united as a one.
Can I just ask you one question?
Yes, go ahead.
Do you know how to get to TJ, right?
Man, everybody knows how to get to TJ. You must be dumb if you don't know how to get to TJ.
Then why don't...
Don't you?
Why don't I?
I don't.
Why don't I? You, man, how can you lead us into the future if you don't even know how to get on the goddamn freeway and drive across the Bronx?
Well, I mean, all I'm trying to say, you used a bad word, man.
Hey.
You know, that's not good. That's not cool.
Look it, the guy used a bad word in association with you not knowing where to find a map. A Rand McNally map at a gas station to help you get...
99 cents, my brother. 99 cents.
So that's got nothing to do with my company.
Don't get that 24-ouncer. Don't get that 32. Get that 99 cents. Go up there. Get yourself a map. Learn where Mexico is. From there, you could go to Mexico. Man, you can learn everything you wanted to do. But we're talking about Hispanics being a minority.
That's a cold
jumping
shot, man.
To be a majority. That's a cold shot
you took on me, man.
Man, there's nothing cold. The only thing cold shot I've been giving you is maybe hitting you with the 40 across the head because you're so dumb.
Hitting you with the truth, okay, Brass?
Exactly, Mark.
All right, I'll take truth from Antonio because he's one of my people, okay? But you are...
My people, man. Let me tell you this much. Where's your family from?
My father was originally worked for IBM in Mexico City, but then they brutally transferred him to L.A.
Hey, that's so good, isn't it? He's making cash now. He's making dollars.
It was a brutal transferring him from my native land.
Well, okay, where were you born at?
I was born in Encino.
Encino, California?
Yeah. That's
then
the,
you
that's
you
the
are tra- an American that's citizen. You should be proud.
That's the tragedy of my life.
Tragedy? Wait. Go live in Mexico making $5 a week. How would you like that? You couldn't even afford a phone. I bet you would be calling a damn phone from one of those toll booths charging you like 30 pesos a minute. Come on now. You should be happy that you're Hispanic, born in America, be able to educate yourself, be able to, you know, your ancestors.
How come that IBM brutally transferred my old man?
How come IBM? What? So you're going to go what? Be all pissed off at IBM because you're an American citizen?
Well, I just think it was brutal the way they transferred my father.
Brutal? Your father.
They transferred him from Mexico City to L.A. How is it brutal?
Okay, you don't even know because you're the white talk show host.
Hey, man, I'm Hispanic. I love white people. We all get along.
I mean, what's up with they raped him away from his home country.
Well, raped from his own country.
Where's your father?
Well, what did you lose?
Where's your father from?
My father's from San Diego.
Well, who exactly in your family is from Mexico?
Well, okay, brother.
Come on.
That's a cold shot you're laying on me, man.
No. Hey, man, if they ask me where my dad's from, it's only going to take me a second because I know.
You must
be a crack shot, you know?
Where's your dad from?
My family, my dad's from Jalos Totitlán, Jalisco.
Okay, now see, you know what's sad about that is I don't know if that's Mexico or not.
Yes,
Jalisco.
Jalisco is a Mexican state.
It's a Mexican state.
And why does the white man know that and I don't?
Well, you're dumb. I'm telling you, you're dumb. It has nothing to do with the white man, black man, orange man, blue man knowing. It has the fact that you don't know. What the hell are you trying to talk about? You're trying to lead my people if you don't know what the Jalisco is. I don't know where Mexico is. I don't even know what a burrito. Probably you don't even know what a burrito is.
I do.
You do?
Okay, you know, here's the whole thing that I think is sad about all of this, okay?
No, the only thing that's sad about this is you got your little organization called Los Malos.
It ain't real.
They raped
ain't real.
They raped me away.
Ain't real.
Well, okay, man.
We came out of the struggle out of the USW. Cesar Chavez in Salinas, California, did for our country what nobody could ever do.
Do you got any extra bomb berets that you could mail to us?
Oh, man, we got a hundred.
Okay, they got...
We ain't going to give you any. This is dumb.
Thanks.
You laughing, white man. One of these days you'll be crying.
Whatever that means. Is that a threat?
No, I'm just saying, when I learn... You know,
when you learn what's in a bean burrito, maybe you'll give me a call and show me what's up, huh?
I think it's a cold shot.
Diamonds never lie to me.
Phil Hendry.
For when love's gone.
What?
They lost the
love. Oh, my God.
Diamonds are forever, forever, forever.
You speak.
Diamonds.